On a Wednesday, March 20th, it's Idaho Matters on Boise State Public Radio News. Hi, everybody. I'm George Prentice. We were all stunned last Friday to learn of the killing of 50 Muslim New Zealanders as they prayed in mosques. A manifesto kept by the alleged killer was found to contain similar anti-Islam rhetoric found in the current discourse in America and in many corners of the globe. A very different scene played out in Boise on that same day as members from the region's Islamic and Christian communities met to discuss ways to bring people in the Treasure Valley together rather than dwell on their differences and eventually dine together. Joining us in studio today are some of the organizers of the so-called Peace Feast. Nick and Laura Armstrong are here. They're pastors at Cole Community Church and directors of Glocal Community Partners. And Philip Thompson is here. He's the manager of community outreach with the Islamic Center of Boise. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I need to assume that this event was scheduled well in advance.
Yes, it was.
I also need to assume that the events of last Friday cast a bit of a shadow and probably inspired quite a bit of conversation.
Yes, it was good timing in a sense.
Yeah? Well, talk to me about that.
Yeah, so it was a time where we come together to share a meal, a common table. And so this was planned in advance. And so when the news came about the New Zealand tragedy, it was a time for us to be able to even pray together and have a silent time of prayer together to be able to kind of express our thoughts and, you know, just some of the things that were on our hearts. So that was it was a great thing to do, to be able to do that together.
Who all was there? Who's invited?
So we work with Reshma Kamal from the, did I say her last name right? From the Islamic Center as well. Mm-hmm. And so she usually organizes around half of the people to come from the Islamic Center. And then we invite about half of the people from the Christian community here in Boise. So there were 12 participants from the Islamic Center and 12 participants from various churches here in Boise.
Philip, talk to me about those conversations, and especially on an evening when we don't know what to do with our outrage, and we want to turn it into something better.
Regretfully, Reshma would have been a much better source in this regard. I didn't attend, but we did have a second gathering where we had Rabbi Fink, Christian communities, Unitarian communities, the Islamic Center at the Anne Frank Memorial. Mm-hmm. Where we did a vigil there as well about how we've got to kind of lessen the divisive attitudes, notions, and rhetoric, and that it's not about Christian, Muslim, secular, et cetera, that we've got to tone it down and bring it together, and the violence has to stop.
And even the Prime Minister of New Zealand said that this happened in spite of inclusion, and probably sometimes happens because of inclusion, but inclusion is really the only way through this.
And I even... you even read about the moment this incident took place. It became a who's at fault for it taking place. Mm. And that's not helping the issue. I mean, we've got to get off this notion of you're bad because you disagree with me, or you're evil because you're on the other side of the political spectrum or ideology. And it just has to be an issue of it's not tolerating the other person. It's accepting. I don't have to agree with what you stand for. And we can even disagree somewhat passionately, but to incite violence is counterintuitive and cannot be accepted. And the rhetoric that we're all trying to hype each other up to get, you know, the accolades of our given group has got to stop.
Mm. Yeah. Talk to me about conversations in your faith community. Unfortunately, these are happening way too often. There's a sense of exhaustion from this, but we've got to get better. We've got to heal and then get better. But talk to me about those conversations you're having.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one of the conversations we're having is just how is it that we come together in ways where that we can kind of step over our fear or our uncomfortableness and step over a social boundary to where we can actually have, you know, authentic relationship, authentic friendship take place, and to begin to really see each other as human beings before we see each other as Muslims or Christians or whatever. And I think that's really the key, is to be able to see each other's human dignity and worth And once we do that, we can come to the table with this notion of the talking about the differences with understanding, with respect, with humility. And so I think that those things are key. And so as we talk with people, we really encourage that idea of being able to see the person in front of you before you begin to sort and categorize and judge them.
And I think one of the things, like on Friday night, that I love is once you're sitting across, you're sharing a meal together, and all those commonalities start coming out. We were talking about raising kids here in the United States and having kids follow your faith, or maybe they're making the choice to not follow your faith. And what does that look like? How do you still love your kids? How do you walk alongside them? That was the discussion around our table. And there's commonality in that. And I'm looking at my Muslim friend going, yeah, what you love your child the same way I love my child. You want the best for your child. And I think it's meeting and finding those commonalities that brings us together as well.
We're visiting with Nick and Laura Armstrong, pastors with the Cole Community Church, and Philip Thompson of the Islamic Center of Boise. If you're listening today, we would love to hear from you. You can communicate with us via email at Idaho Matters, all one word, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. You can reach out to us on Twitter. We are at KBSX915, or on Facebook. We are Boise State Public Radio. Pretty easy to find there. It's interesting that the very tangible act of breaking bread affords great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And you have events like this through the year, yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we actually have several large events, and one of those is what we call a Thanksgiving Peace Feast. It's the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And we've done that for 4 years in a row, and the last one, there was over 350 people that showed up, and it was about almost half and half in terms of those that came as Muslims, those that came as Christians. And so it was really a wonderful event to just be able to break bread together.
Hmm. One thing the pastor's done beautifully is this last week, especially, you had brought a large group to the masjid during Juma prayer. And that, I think, is the most beneficial, in addition to like eating with one another, but them taking the mystery out of what it is to mm-hmm. be a Muslim. Because I'm assuming the vast majority, because they were a pretty young crowd,
mm-hmm.
number one, had never considered stepping foot inside a mosque. There's a large amount of women who came, young women. And there's even just the difference of how our men and our women pray separately, mm-hmm. Et cetera, that they were able to come and visit a mosque and realize, huh, it's really not some foreign, unknown entity that I need to be fearful of.
Mm-hmm.
But they came, we spoke, they asked questions. And that notion of familiarity is what does the best to kind of, you know, die down this notion of xenophobia or fearfulness. Because now, I mean, there had to have been 20 kids that came, or young women, young adults. They've now set foot in a mosque, prayed beside Muslims, and realized, huh, it's really nothing to it. There's no sacrifice.
And most importantly, tell their friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then and that's the key. We have to, you know, deal with one another as humans and see that, wow, they're not some alien entity that I need to be fearful of.
What's fascinating about this is the bond, when in fact there are way too many people who think it is our faiths that divide us and create the us and them. But what I'm hearing from you, and what you walk the walk with this, is that those faiths can bond as much as they can divide.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, just my own personal stake in this. I mean, I was raised a Baptist. Mm-hmm. And had it been something alien or unknown or somehow went against everything I knew as a child, I wouldn't have then became a Muslim. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying the two are the same. Let's not play that game. But they have a great deal of commonality and more things that they share than they differ. But I think the only way you would know that is if the two groups take a moment to talk to one another and realize, hey, we share a lot. We don't agree on everything, but we don't have to. It's just a mutual respect. And let's focus on those things that we share and see what we can do together, as opposed to, oh, we differ on these select few things, so therefore we can't have commonality.
And I think that's one of the things is, you know, it's trying to break down those barriers and say, let's get to know someone that's different than us. And when you get to know someone that's different than you, you go, oh, we have a lot more in common than we do different. And what, yes, our religions are different, but yet we can find commonalities and we can still treat each other with kindness. We can be good neighbors. We can, you know, hopefully break down that fear like what Philip is saying.
So. Can I assume that the hunger is as great as ever to connect? I mean, we are hungry.
I think as people.
To heal and to connect. Yeah. And sometimes we need, sometimes it's an excuse. Mm-hmm. Give us an opportunity to break bread together.
Yeah.
But to at least get under the same roof for some time.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think sometimes there is this initial step to actually begin to have a cup of coffee or to begin to share a meal with someone of another faith is the hardest step, that first step, because it's the unknown. And we tend to, as people, you know, move away from that which is unfamiliar and move towards that which is familiar. And so we end up kind of creating walls, you know, of kind of an effectual circle where we have people inside our walls and people outside. And so that, you know, just encouraging and helping people to see that that first step of taking coming out of your comfort zone and stepping over a social boundary is just so fundamental in being able to see them as a real human being with dignity and worth.
So give me an opportunity. When's your next event?
Yeah. We need to plan that.
Yeah. But spring, summer, fall?
Yeah. We have some planned for this summer. They are going into their fasting month in May, so we always are sensitive to that. But the ICB is great at inviting people to come and experience opening the fast together on Saturday night. So I'll let Philip talk about that. Sorry.
And actually, due to the recent tensions locally, we are going to be a little more regimented about our visitors. We're going to do it like 1 day a month as opposed to any day during the month because it just becomes a logistical issue.
Sure.
And we have had voices that are not so
welcoming
to the Islamic path.
To say the least.
It's not that we're operating out of fear, but we've got to protect our community, most importantly. Number two, to actually make an environment to when the visitors come that we can properly deal, greet them, and make them feel comfortable. And then in addition to that, it's not just an interfaith issue. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. But we also need to deal with those who perhaps are much more secular, who don't even understand this need or necessity or almost anti-theists, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
That intellectualism or the school having a more academic approach doesn't necessarily mean we have to be in opposition because I'm a religious person and you're coming much more from an intellectual academia level, because those two have been wrongfully juxtaposed to each other as well, that we just have to agree to treat each other humanly and with respect. But we're open to all those conversations. So, yeah, during Ramadan, we will have people coming in, but in a much more regulated fashion. Our holy month starts in May, and we'll start fasting. It's an opportunity that we can let people know the who, what, when, and the why.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my shtick, and that's what we'll be doing.
Excellent. Yeah. Philip Thompson is a manager of community outreach at the Islamic Center of Boise, and Nick and Laura Armstrong are pastors with Cole Community Church. Thank you. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
Safe
for
journey.
The opportunity.